Who knows? 8-10 years from now, I might have this down pat. It could happen. But I did. I wanted to apologize and let you know this is what my voice sounds like today. And they're not doing anything to it up in the sound booth. This is what it's like. Came back with a little head cold, and so we're getting through here. But listen closely, and if you see me trying to cough, really mute this really quick, right? Because I'll be really loud. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life when I have felt totally worthless. Don't raise your hand, but some of you did anyway. That's okay. You know, there are times when that happens. It's not a pleasant experience, is it? It can happen any time, sometimes unexpectedly. And if you allow it to take root, it can destroy your life. It really can. Last week, I was hunting elk in Wyoming. That's why I was gone last week. And just so you know, the elk won. The weather was beautiful, but that caused them to stay way up high, and I can't climb mountains like that. And so they were safe. I did bring back a deer, so I have some venison. But it reminded me when I was hunting, and we talked about it with one. I talked about it with one of the guys I was hunting with, actually, of a time that I was hunting. It was actually the second year that I hunted in Wyoming, and it was that year during deer season that I felt totally worthless. What had happened was that first year I went, I got a huge, huge buck. The guy I was hunting with said, "You'll never see one like that again," you know. And sure enough, second year there was one that was bigger that we came across, and he was just shocked. And it was an easy shot, maybe 150 yards. And I pulled up and I leveled my scope on him and pulled the trigger, and I missed. I missed by a lot, like way over his back. They saw the dirt fly. I'm like, man, mule deer are such that they will stand and look at you when you do that. Like, what's wrong with you? I don't know what they're thinking. But so he just stood there, and I chambered another round and I shot. And this time I hit way in front of him. I'm like, what's going on here? And at that point, he ran away. He said, "You're not worthy of me. I'm leaving." And I hunted all that season, seeing deer, getting good shots at deer, and I missed high, and I missed low, and I missed right, and I missed left. It got to the point where the guys I was hunting with, when I would shoot, they'd step back because they had no idea where the bullet was going. And it really was working on me, and I felt worthless. I'm a worthless hunter. Maybe I should just quit this whole thing. When I found out after the season, one of the guys from our church said, "You know, Pastor, my Christmas gift to you is I'm going to clean your rifle for you this year. Give it a really good cleaning and everything else." So he took it in November and was cleaning. He brought it back, and he said, "After I cleaned it, I went out to shoot this. I couldn't hit a thing." Which is something for this gentleman, because he would take 1,000-yard shots and be right on. He was really good. And he said, "I started looking at it, and your scope was loose. So every time I shot, it jumped around, and I was shooting all over the place. But I know that that made me feel useless. And if I had allowed that thought that I was worthless when it came to hunting, if I'd allowed that thought to just linger there, I would have quit, because I really did think that. Maybe I should just quit. It's not even worth the effort. I'm just no good. Just no good. And if I had done that, I'd have missed years and years spent with the men of our church and our community and the good ministry that happens when you're driving around or sitting around in the woods. And so I'm thankful that that didn't happen. But that's how the feeling of worthlessness works sometimes in our lives. It focuses in on a failure or a perceived failure. I failed as a hunter. I failed as a son. I failed as a husband. I know I should be better at this. I mustn't have been a very good father. Look what happened this time. I should have been. And got to the point. There have been times when I was like, I failed as a pastor, a shepherd. What's going on, Lord? Why did you ever call me? I'm worthless. Maybe you've experienced that as well. And with each perceived failure comes a sense of that worthlessness, that you start running all over all the what ifs in your head. What if? If only I had been. Finish the sentence. If only I had done. If only I had seen that. If only. But I didn't. And when those times have happened to me, and if they've happened to you, you might recognize this as well. There were always some people who would try to encourage me, saying it wasn't all my fault, which really wasn't very encouraging. It's not all your fault. Okay, thanks. But there were also others who were very glad to reinforce my feelings of worthlessness by pointing out some of the what ifs that I missed. I hadn't thought of that one. If you'd only done this, if you'd only done that. Oh, I didn't even think of that. And there were many who remained silent, leaving my imagination to fill in all the horrible things that they wanted to tell me, but didn't. There have been times in my life when I felt worthless. How about you? Can I just add here a little side note on this whole thing? That honesty about these things is very, very important. If we as a family of Christ don't tell our stories to one another, if we don't open up and share what's going on in our lives with one another, the good things and the bad things, then we can't encourage and challenge one another like the body of Christ is supposed to do. It's real easy sometimes to never want to mention those bad stories, those bad experiences. Like, I'm just going to keep that to myself. No, nobody else needs to know that. And it's just not how the body of Christ is supposed to work. So I just want to encourage you today, stop making your church relationships like Facebook, where you only post the pretty pictures and the good stories. Because that's what happens there, you know. You should do that. You should tell the good things. You should be encouraged, because that might be the encouragement someone needs like crazy today. But don't hide the ugly stuff from your church family either. Don't hide the hardships that you're dealing with. Don't hide the hurts that are going on in your heart. Because when you're hurting and feeling worthless, it's a good thing to let some brothers or sisters in Christ know about it, so they can stand with you, put an arm around you, and walk beside you. You need that. We need that as a body of Christ. That wasn't the sermon today. That just kind of got added in. But we're talking about this feeling of worthlessness, and a feeling of worthlessness defeats you. And it's debilitating at times, keeping you from attempting and doing what you're truly able to do in Christ. It keeps us from that because we say, oh, I could never do that. Oh, I can't. Oh, no, not me. Somebody else will have to do that. It's because those feelings of worthlessness and defeat are common that Jesus was careful to pass along some very important information in his word. You see, Jesus knows something about you that you need to know about yourself, that you need to believe about yourself. Do you think that Jesus would lie to you? Thank you. He would not. That was one where you were able to answer out loud. Yeah. He would not lie to you. And so believe him this morning when he tells you that you are far, far, far from worthless. Indeed, you are extremely valuable. In Matthew chapter 10, which we're going to look at here in this morning, Jesus was sending out his 12 disciples to further spread the message. He was sending them out of Paris. They go and want you to teach, and I want you to preach, and I want you to tell the Jewish nation that the kingdom of heaven is near. And with that message, they were supposed to go out and heal the sick and raise the dead and cleanse those who have leprosy and drive out demons. All things that they had never, ever, ever done before in their lives. Can you imagine that type of instruction going to them? Well, we've seen you do that, Jesus, but I never did that. I don't know if I can do that. Can I drive out a demon? Can I heal the sick? I don't even like to be around people with leprosy. But what Jesus said to them was, freely you have received, freely give. Jesus was telling them, everything that you need to do this, I've given it to you. You got it. Go do this. And Jesus knew that although they would experience great victories in the days ahead, victories over Satan and his demons, and that many would believe in Christ because of their message, Jesus knew that still there would be others who totally rejected them. Jesus told them in John 15 that if the world hates you, keep in mind, they hate me too. They hated me first. And even here in his instructions, in Matthew 10, he told the disciples as they headed out, the student is not above his teacher. The servant's not above his master. It is enough that is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants to be like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? Jesus knew they were going to face some hard times and rejection. And he didn't want them to feel worthless. He wanted to prepare the disciples so that they wouldn't take the rejection to heart. He didn't want them to think that they were worthless because they were rejected and even hated. He wanted them to know that they don't have to believe what others say when it contradicts what Jesus says. So he made the point with something that they could understand. Birds. Because there's birds all around. We know what birds are. And so in Matthew 10, 29 to 31, Jesus said, listen, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. The sparrow was proverbially the smallest of creatures, and the penny was the least valuable Roman coin. And you might consider both of them to be essentially worthless. I know people, even today, who if they're walking along and they see a penny on the ground, won't bother to pick it up. That's not worth anything. I always pick them up, by the way, because it reminds me of this. And if you do the math, you realize that if the penny was too small to be of much value, the sparrow was worth half of that, because you can buy two of them for a penny. And Luke had an even lower valuation of sparrows when he wrote this story. He said, are not five sparrows sold for two pennies? I think Luke was shopping at the clearance rack. Buy four, get one free. But still the point is the same in Matthew and in Luke. When Jesus says, yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Not one of those sparrows is overlooked by our God. Not one of them will fall to the ground outside our Father's care. He knows and he cares about the smallest and the least. Jesus wanted the disciples to know this. And he wants you and me to know, don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. You are not worthless. Don't be afraid of what anyone else thinks of you. Don't be afraid of failure. Don't be afraid. You are valuable. And he wants you to know that not because of what you do, but because of who you are. Worthlessness is based on what you've done. Value is based on who you are. And in Christ, you are of great, great value. Because of who you are. You are His. He made you. God makes good things. Remember the Genesis story? Each day, everything He made, it ended with, "God, it was good. And it was good. And it was good." Got to the end of the sixth day when He made Adam, and He said, "It was very good." That wasn't a mistake or just they needed to change the language a little bit. No, God knew, very good, each one of us, mankind. I don't know if you remember a couple weeks back, we had these in the bulletin. Do you still have yours somewhere? The who we are in Christ list? Look at it often, because you can't read this and realize and even think that I'm worthless. Because we are God's possession. We're His children. We're elect. We're chosen by Him. If you think you're worthless and that God chose you, you're calling God stupid. Why would He choose something worthless? He doesn't. You're beloved. Just go through the list again. Be reminded of it often because you have great value to God. You are His. He takes good care of what is His. Jesus wants you to know and remember that and believe that with all of your heart this morning. Because of who you are, nothing that you've done to deserve it or earn it. Just because of who you are, He cares for you and provides for you. Even better than He does the rest of His creation, those little tiny little sparrows. And He treats them really good. So think of it this way. Feeling worthless is for the birds. It doesn't belong in our lives. Don't believe it for a moment. Don't believe what others tell you when it contradicts what Jesus tells you. He says, you are of great value. That is the truth. You're valuable to God. And His assessment is the only one that really matters, isn't it? Who else are we trying to please? Who else are we trying to impress? He values you just the way you are. He values you because of who you are. You're made in His image. But although He values you as you are, you need to know this, He won't leave you the way you are. Okay? He makes improvements. Praise His name. And that just shows you that He thinks you're worth the investment. I don't know if you noticed over in the driveway, but after I was in Wyoming, I drove back home and I brought my pickup truck with me. It's a 2001 Chevy S10. And before I bought it, it was a ranch truck. And you know what that means? They beat it up. There are dents and scratches. Their tailgate doesn't open all the time, and usually it remains closed if I get it closed. That's a good thing. But it's kind of beat up. And I thought at one point, man, it might be nice to put a cover on the back of that. And then I looked at the truck again and said, no, that is not worth any improvement. It's not worth spending money to make an improvement on this truck. I'm still holding out for a new one. That's not going to happen anytime soon. But God looks at you and he says, you're worth every improvement. Let me help you grow. Let me help you change. Let me shape you and mold you. And you know what he's shaping and molding you to be like? Him. He's shaping and molding you to be just like Jesus. Good improvements. And you're worth it. Even in your most despicable, vile, hateful moment, God values you enough to have sent his perfect son, Jesus, to redeem you from sin and death. Redeem you. He traded Jesus for you. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While you were at your worst, a sinner, rebelling against him, rejecting him, God traded his perfect son for you. Why? Because he believes that you are worth it. I asked before if you thought Jesus would lie to you. I'm glad you answered no, because he doesn't. He says you are of great value to him. So how does that change our outlook on life? If I'm going to believe what Jesus is saying here, that I'm of great value to him, how does that change how I live my life every other day? It should instill confidence in us, knowing that God values who you are, not because of what you do. It frees you from fear, the fear of what other people think, but it frees you from the fear of failure. Remember, he was sending the disciples out to cure leprosy and raise the dead and heal the sick. And they're like, I've never done that before. But he said, freely you've received, freely give. Jesus gives us everything we need to do that he asks us to do. All of it. So that when he says, love your neighbor as yourself, and we say, you don't know my neighbor, we're saying, God, you're not enough. You haven't given me what I need to be able to do that, and it's just not true. He has given you immeasurable love in Jesus. When we look at the task that he sets before us and say, oh, I'm not able to do that. I could never stand up and speak in front of people. I can't talk to anybody. You know what? You talk to people all the time. And God's not going to give you an opportunity to share what he's done in your life that you're not able to do it. He has freely given you everything you need. Freely give it away. You can try whatever God asks you to do, knowing that even if you fail, even if you do fail, because you will, I have lots of times. I've gotten really good at it, actually. Even when you fail, though, it doesn't diminish your value in his eyes. Isn't that amazing? He doesn't look at you and say, oh man, maybe I picked a loser this time. Wonder if I can trade him in the draft to some Baptist church. I don't know. Sorry, just first church I thought of. No, even our greatest failures does not diminish us in his eyes. I'm so thankful for that. I want you to look. I talked about Luke and his view of sparrows. He talks about birds in Luke chapter 12. It says, consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They have no storerooms or barns. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. In Luke's mind, these birds don't do anything. They don't work for their food even. God gives it to them. Yet God values them enough to provide for their daily needs. That's why there's so many of them around. And that verse ends with the exclamation, and how much more valuable you are than birds. Woo! But I'd like you to go ahead and make that a question this morning. Read it like a question. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Ask it. Lord, how valuable am I? And then dig into His Word. And He'll show you. If nothing else, you are valuable enough for Him to trade His Son for you. That if you were the only one who needed salvation, Jesus would have died on the cross for you. Ask Him. Go ahead. He'll tell you. And how you see that answer makes all the difference in the world. Are you worthless or are you valuable? Rob Bell, in one of his books, I'm going to quote him in just a second. I just want you to know this is before Rob Bell went off the edge. Okay, I don't recommend his most recent books. Don't go there. This is an older one. But he said, and this is true, our understanding of how God sees us will shape everything about how we live. What we do comes out of who we believe we are. Think about it. Our understanding of how God sees us will shape everything about how we live. So dump the narrative that says you're worthless. It's just not true. Believe what Jesus says instead. You are valuable to me. It's a huge step in making real change in your life. And as it changes your life, Jesus will use you to change the world. Because there are a lot of people out there who don't know this. And he will look at your life and say, how can you do this? He said, well, I'm valuable to God. So are you. You'll change the world one person at a time. Give up the defeat and the despair and the fear that holds you back. Live like Jesus sees you. Valuable beyond measure. Because of who you are, not because of what you do. So you can follow Him fearlessly. Jesus doesn't ever want you to feel worthless. Okay? When those feelings come, they're not from God. Period. Not from Him. That would be Satan whispering in your ear, trying to bind you in fear. Believe about yourself what Jesus believes about you. You are valuable. You are valuable to God. And He will always, always take care of you. No matter what you do. So follow Him fearlessly. Let's pray. Gracious Father God, I thank You so much for the privilege that You give to us to spend time in Your Word, to be reminded of the lessons that You have for us, Lord, of how You see us. Forgive us, Lord, for the times when we've listened to Satan and other voices in our head that say, oh, you're not so hot, are you? You've really messed it up this time. Lord, forgive us for those moments when we listen to those voices. Allow us to see the things that we do, even the failures, as opportunities to grow in Christ. Things that will shape us to be more like Jesus. We ask that you'll do that work in us for your glory and honor. For your praise, Lord. Because we ask it in the matchless name of Jesus Christ.